All right. Well, wake up, church. We are talking about waking up and being the church this morning as we're talking about our rock solid faith and being sure of the ground on which we stand. And so I invite you to go ahead and turn to your outline there this morning. And we're going to learn some things about the church this morning. And if not learn some, then we're going to confess some. Amen? All right. Number one, the church was established by Jesus. All right? The church was established by Jesus. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 18, he says, "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gate of Hades will not overcome it." And so in case you're not sure, his name was Simon. And when he made this profession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then Jesus said, "You are right. The Holy Spirit, through my Father, has revealed this to you, and your new name is Peter." Comes from the Greek for Petra, meaning rock. And on this rock, the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, I will build my church. Now listen to this, what it also says. He says, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Another version says, "will not prevail." That means that we are not simply supposed to be the called together ones that we can put up a gate and keep everybody else out. We are supposed to be on the offensive. We are God's army, and we're supposed to go out. Now, how many of you were freaked out by last week's sermon? Anybody going to admit to it? All right, a couple of hands going up in there. Well, I want you to know that I told you we have been physically as well as spiritually going through some spiritual warfare here at this church and with some of our folks here that are really struggling with that. And many people are a little bit freaked out thinking about spiritual warfare and that Satan or his demons might actually come and at least oppression, if not possession. And somebody reminded me of an old story, an old joke about Satan coming into church one day and came right down the center aisle. And as he was coming down the center aisle, everybody else got up and fled, all except one little old man in the front. And so Satan went over, towered over him, looked down at him and said, "Don't you know who I am?" He said, "Yep." He says, "Well, don't you know that I can kill you with one single word and that you will burn eternally in my hell forever and ever and ever?" And the man said, "Yep." "And you're not afraid of me?" "Nope." "Why not?" "Been married to your sister for 48 years. No names, no names. I think we do need to laugh sometimes, but it also it teaches us really that we can laugh at Satan. We have to be aware of him. We should respect the power that he has, but we don't have to be afraid of anyone because he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so we are the church. Remember, we're on the big guys team. Remember I said you talk about pickup games of football or soccer or baseball. You always wanted to be on the big guys team. Well, guess what, church? We are on the big guys team. We are on the Creator's team. And nothing nor anyone can ever separate us from the love of God. So we need to stand up. We need to rise up. And we need to wake up as the church of Jesus Christ. I honestly think many churches have been asleep for the last 20, 30, 40 years. And many people are falling out of the church because they don't see anything real that's happening. I'm going to share something with you in just a little bit. So I'm going to come back to the point that I'm almost about ready to make, but it's not time to make it yet. So we're going to move on to number two. We are designed for community. Everybody say community.
Community.
Community. We are called the ecclesia, the assembly. And it literally comes from the word meaning the called out ones. We are the ones that are called out. We are the ones that are chosen. We are the ones that have come forward. And so we are supposed to be the community of God, the people of God who are supposed to come together. In community, you have many parts, many gifts, one body. There is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. You can believe in God as the Creator. You can believe in Jesus as the Son of God. You can believe in Satan. But it doesn't make you a Christian. A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. One who has accepted His sacrifice, His love, His gift for us. And then we have come together to share our gifts. How many of you would like to see a revival such as there was at Pentecost? Anybody? I would. Man, just to feel and to sense the Spirit moving throughout this place. And I want to call out to the older church, if you will, because the youth had a flowing of the Spirit last weekend. I'm just telling you, it was awesome. 35 sets of eyes in that room, 34 of them were crying. The other two were trying to figure out what happened. But there was a move of the Spirit that's going on, and you need to know that you are a part of that. But when you come to church, when you show up, you should show up not only willingly, but excitedly and expecting something to happen. I'm with the preacher who said, please, oh Lord, do something that's not in the bulletin today. Do something fresh. Do something new. Move that hearts are stirred, and we will know that we have been with you. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, Paul writes that just as each one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's in serving, let him serve. If it's in teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's in leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's in showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. You see, we are called together to be the body. If I left my hand at home, it really wouldn't do me any good, would it? It's only when my body is together and I'm fully functioning and moving forward. That is true of the church of Jesus Christ. And I am tired of people saying, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I just don't have a church home. Then you know what? Today's the day. I'm calling you out. You are not a Christian. Let me say it again in case somebody gets this, because y'all are obviously here and you're hearing it, and we're recording this now. And so I'm going to call you out. If you are not involved in the body, if you are not a part of the church, then you are not a Christian. Simply acknowledging God as Creator and simply acknowledging Jesus as the Son of God who died on the cross for the sins of the world, but you are not a follower of Christ if you are not with the body. So if anybody ever says, do I have to be a part of a church to be a Christian? The answer is yes. Yes. We are given the power of the Holy Spirit when we accept Christ as not only our Savior, but as our Lord. And I thank God that some of you all have gifts that I do not have. And I need you, and you need me. There is not one person, including the pastor, who is more important than anybody else. We all have our gifts, And we are better together than we are individually apart. Amen? Amen. All right, number three, we are designed for worship. The fourth commandment says, anybody know what the fourth commandment says? Keep the Sabbath holy. We are supposed to set aside a day for not just rest. Some people have been confused that it just simply means take a day off from work. We are supposed to take time off from our normal duties that wear us out. You know where recreation comes from? Slow the word down. Re-creation. We are supposed to take the time out from our normal activities and our normal duties to be recreated. How can we be recreated if we are not worshiping God on that day? We have to go back to the Creator to get recreated. We're designed for worship. One of my favorite passages, Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47, shows the early church and what they were about. And if you ever want to know what we as a church are going to be about, it's these things here. Found in Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. It says they devoted themselves. Where we get the word devotion. You devote. You put time into it. You put your heart into it. They devoted themselves into the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Teaching, fellowship, food, prayer, sharing. And they met daily. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We have slipped so far as a church that people think it's wonderful if they can make it on a Sunday or two. If they can make it on Sunday and go way above and beyond and show up on Wednesday too. For all of these things, the early church was so excited that they met daily. They shared everything in common. You know why we don't do that anymore? The greed monster's got a hold of us. Well, if I give what I have, then I won't have anything. If you are truly in community, then you will have everything. But we of the church have fallen so far from this original picture of what Christ intended for the church. We struggle with tithing. Tithing is just 10%. The early church didn't stop with tithing. They brought everything. Can you imagine? I can tell you what would happen if everybody in this church was at least a tither. You know what would happen? Revival. You know why? Because everybody's hearts would be with the Lord and with the church and not worried about the future and am I going to have enough and so I have to hoard everything. I have to hold on. Instead, you put God's kingdom first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. For too long, we the church have not called people out. We have not been honest. We've been trying to be nice. And as we've been nice, people have been falling away from the church. And it's been watered down. I don't want to be a part of a watered down church. I want to be a part of a church that's alive. I want to be a part of a church that truly has revival, truly has the Spirit moving through it. I want to see people's lives get changed. People get saved and people give up their sinful lifestyles and just celebrate to God, going out into community and spreading his message. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take a look at candid look at the church. Number four, and I promise you this was not intended as a beat up the church Sunday. All right? But at our worst, and this is where we have to look at ourselves. And I'm not just talking about Lakeshore. I'm talking about the church in general. But we at Lakeshore have to just kind of own up to it as well and saying at our worst, we are competitive, petty, and small. Competitive, petty, and small. We are more consumed with thoughts of our own comfort than the needs of the world, the needs of the community around us. Remember, I shared with you when I got here not too long after that, just saying, you know what? It's not just in Jacksonville either. It's everywhere. There are so many churches that are about three funerals away from being closed. When I was in seminary, many of my friends were serving five churches. They did two on one Sunday and three on the other. They could only do church every other week because these three would not join with those three over there. My granddaddy built these pews. My grandmother bought the stained glass windows. It's become about us instead of being about God. It's not about looking at that church down there and having a full parking lot and going, wow, they have something going on over there. I wish we had something going on in our church. Wonder what they're doing. It's about saying, wow, I get to go to church today. You know, as we talked about spiritual warfare last week, I remember this Christian comedian, and he said, for most people, they wake up in the morning and Satan goes, oh. He says, I want Satan going, oh, no. They're awake, and they're going to bring more people to Jesus Christ today. Oh, no. We want to rock his world. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Gandhi, at one time, somebody asked him about Jesus and what he thought about Jesus. Now, remember, he was not a Christian. And he said, Jesus, I like. It's the Christians I don't understand. That's an indictment against the church, that we do not have a good reputation outside of our own community. We've huddled together and we're trying to hold on against the storm of all these other things that are coming on. And we're huddled and we're afraid. And because of that, people are falling away more and more from the church because they see something that's impotent and not something that's on fire. Not something that translates from the pews on Sunday morning to work, car, school on Monday morning. We get just a little bit of God. We're content with that. And any praying we do is usually crisis praying, saying, Lord, help me get through this. Instead of, Lord, thank you for the beautiful day. Lord, thank you that you love me so much that you sent your son to die on the cross for me, that my sins are forgiven. Lord, I thank you that you love even the sinners and that you keep calling out to them. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful sunshine. I had a chance to go with my family to the beach yesterday. I love the beach. I love the immenseness of it because I sometimes like to feel small in God's world and God's creation and going, wow, how big is God that he would create something this awesome? What would it be like if we thought about God 24/7? And that if we truly became like Brother Lawrence and trying to practice the presence of God every minute of every day. He said it took him, honestly, 3 years to do it. Don't let that be a discouragement to you. Let that be an encouragement to you. Because so many times we sit down and have our quiet time with God and we are distracted. Guess who's the distractor? We have to discipline ourselves to fight through it, to really be the people of God. And if we're going to be the people of God, then it has to start with our quiet time and our devotion before God. Then and only then will our religion translate into practice. And I'm preparing for next week. We're going to learn about why we're United Methodist and why that's important. But part of it, here's a little tidbit for next week, is because of the practical divinity. It's a holiness of heart and life. And what we do on Sunday and what we do on our devotions the rest of the week and for our midweek peak and all that goes into being who we are 24/7, just being God conscious and then sharing that with the world as our lives are transformed. Amen? Number five, at best, we are the only hope of the world. First time I heard that was from Bill Hybels, that the church is the only hope of the world. And you know what my first thought was? Oh, no. Wow. Have we fallen? We are the only hope of the world. Let that sink in. The church of Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic. I'm talking about the church, the total church of Jesus Christ is the only hope of the world. God's passion is for the world. John 3:16 says so, that he loved the world so much that he sent his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. And so we need to get busy being the church, growing ourselves up. Sometimes I feel the frustration of the Apostle Paul that says, man, it's time for meat. We need to go on to deeper stuff. And yet we just keep going off on the milk. And that's why I'm so passionate about rock solid faith and bringing you something challenging called apologetics to help us understand a defense of our own faith, that we would know it, that we would catch on fire, that we would become a bold church and take it out from these walls into the community and know that we do not go alone, but it's Christ who goes with us by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why I say it's more important that we talk to God about our neighbor than we talk to our neighbor about God. Because when you talk to God about your neighbor and you're really praying for the people that are around you, then God will open up the doors. If we just start going knocking on doors, then we're going to repel people from the gospel. But when we go in God's power, if you go for a walk, just simply pray over your neighborhood. Pray for the people. Pray for the houses that you don't know the people that are in them. Do whatever it takes to pray for them. And then God will bring those people out. And it won't be just one and done. Bill Hybels said that he had garbage can evangelism. He said, the only time I talk to my neighbors, we just meet out at the street when we take the garbage out. He said, but slowly by slowly, as I've developed a relationship with him, he said, it took me 3 years to invite him to church, took me 5 to get him into church, and took 7 for him to accept Jesus Christ and his Lord and his Savior. But it started with garbage can evangelism. How cool is that? Number 6, do we have to be in church to be a Christian? I already answered that one. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not going to water it down. I'm not going to make it easy for people who aren't in church. And I'm sick and tired of hearing the church is full of hypocrites. There's room for one more. Come on down. Be a part of it. Because we are the church of Jesus Christ, for better or for worse. And we have an indictment against us. We have to do better. There is no doubt. But do not let people get away with just saying it's full of hypocrites. I understand that the church has hurt people. I do understand that. And for that, I am deeply troubled and I am sorry. But the only way we can find healing is to get back into church and be the church that Jesus Christ called us to be. Amen? Hebrews chapter 10, 22 through 25. Here's scripture. I usually try to give you guys scripture because you need to know it's not just coming from me, all right? So in Hebrews 10, 22 through 25 says, let us draw near to God with sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So even back in this day, in the earliest days of the church was faltering, and there were people that were forgetting to meet together. And Paul's calling them out, saying, no, don't give it up. We have to draw near to God and near to his people if we're going to grow in the faith, and so that we can be encouraged. I love the word spur. How many of you would appreciate it if I showed up in spurs one day? Yeah, I don't think so. But yet, I mean, that's a very powerful word, that we are here to challenge one another to grow in the faith, even if it means an owie. It is not politically correct to say anything to anybody about anything anymore. Just so you know, we are politically incorrect. And we have got the truth, and so we need to stand on the truth. The rock, Jesus Christ, is the Son of the living God. And we need to move forward boldly. Amen? Number seven, the church needs to regain the sense of victory and purpose. Victory. Some of these churches don't know what a victory is. They haven't had a victory in so long. They haven't had a movement of the Holy Spirit in so long. And the original purpose, the purpose of Sunday is not to keep us from feeling guilty. The purpose of Sunday is not that we would just come together as people and have great dinners. The purpose is the church of Jesus Christ, that we can be filled up. And so that we can take the Holy Spirit of God by being encouraged with everyone who's coming around and eating and praying and fellowshipping and studying and listening to God's word. And so that we can grow up and mature in the faith, so that we can take it out in rock solid faith and reach others for Jesus Christ. Too many times the church has thought the purpose is to make me happy. And if I'm not happy, ain't nobody happy. Well, guess what? We are the church. It's not just about us. We're the chosen ones. We're a part of the elect. We're the ones who are on God's team. Why in the world wouldn't we be willing to look at the things that we do to make sure that we're doing as many attractive things as possible to reach others for the name of Jesus Christ, instead of being concerned about our own comfort? I didn't get an amen on that one. Amen. Amen. Woo. Y'all are in for it, because I'm feeling it, folks. I'm feeling it. You have a choice. We are standing at the crossroads. And we have a choice as a church and a God people on which direction do we want to go. And I will tell you that Lakeshore is standing at that crossroads. And we have to decide if we want to end up being like one of those churches with three funerals away from closing, or do we want to see this place explode in growth and power and the Holy Spirit. Because I will tell you, according to your answer, is what I want to do. Because I don't want to be a country club salesman. I don't want to just bring people in so that they can feel good and feel comfortable. There's a lot of churches right now that are huge because the pastors will only talk about what's good and what's comfortable. If that's what you came for, I'm sorry. Not really, but just thought I'd say it. We need to wake up at the church. We need to make sure that we are paying attention to God 24/7, being filled up and being led by his vision and not our own, so that we can truly be the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. So how are we going to fulfill that? Anybody have any guesses? All right, here we go. Connect. Number eight, connect with God through worship. It's not a request. It is a command from God. We are called to come together as his people to worship. Psalm 103:4 says, shout for the joy to the Lord. Somebody shout for me right now. Shout. Thank you. So many times we have been the church of church mice, and we have been afraid to put ourselves out there. We've been afraid to clap, and we've been afraid and embarrassed to come before the Lord with shouting. You know, we used to be called the shouting Methodist. As I'm saying that, I'm realizing I'm shouting. We used to be called the shouting Methodist. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Toe tappers, I'm telling you, Bobby likes them. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who makes us, and we are his, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all the generation. This is a church that's on fire. This is a church that's excited. I love the story by Tony Campolo, and he's a bit of a rebel and kind of out there, and I don't totally agree theology-wise with Tony on everything, but I think he's got a lot of things right. And he had taken his students, and they were visiting from church to church to church, and he said he got into one church, and the pastor got up and said, "Let us enter his courts with thanksgiving in our hearts, and his courts with praise." And Tony and his students went, "Woohoo! Woo! Woo!" And they started looking around. He said, apparently he didn't really mean it. We kind of took him literal at that. We should be excited when we come to church and shout for joy about what the Lord has been doing all week. This is not just a filling place. Some people treat church as a filling station, and it's getting pricier and pricier to get in, right? You know? And it's not. We should be filled up with God all week long so that we bring something to worship. It's not just about saying, "Well, gee, I surely hope the pastor has something good for me today. I hope there's a good joke that I can take with me, and I hope it's fun, and I hope it's enlightening, and I hope that I can be encouraged when I walk out of there." You know what? That's consumer church. Church is about the people coming together and bringing the Spirit with them. Your Spirit, your Spirit, your Spirit, your Spirit, and you bring the Holy Spirit collectively together. That's why we are called to be together as the church. I'm going to remind you of what it means to be a molecule that's being heated up. It means a little bit agitated, and they start moving around. And one gets heated up, and they start moving around. And then they bump into somebody else, and they start getting a little excited, and they start moving around, and they start all moving together. That's what the church is we're being heated up and moving on fire. Amen?
Amen.
All right, number 9. That we should grow in our faith through small groups. If you are not in a Sunday school class or a small group and you say you're too busy, I'm going to tell you, you are too busy. You need to be studying God's word every week. You need to be getting together in a small group, because other than amens that I get back from you guys, there's not much chance for you to participate in. And there's something different about being in a small group with God's people, studying his word together, praying together, eating together, caring for one another. You need to know how to do that. Many of you don't even know the names of the person sitting in front of you, behind you, or across the aisle. And I'm trying, and if I don't know your name, I'll make one up, and I'm sorry about that. But if you get into a small group, then everybody should know your name. You know why that remember the long-running TV show Cheers? Why was it so popular? Because everybody wants a place where everybody knows your name. They come together in community, and they share their lives together. Should that not truly be the church? Small groups are not something that we should put on the list of things that we have to do. We should want to do. And if you're not happy with your small group, move on! Or take leadership. Oh, there's an idea. Oh, no. I just want a good group that I can go participate in. Well, guess what? Somebody's got to lead it. And if they're not leading in an exciting way, tell them to move over. You got the Spirit inside of you, and you're going to lead. Amen? Number 10, serve. Somebody say, uh-oh. Oh, man, we've already learned that we have to come together for worship. We have to get into a small group. We have to grow. We have to do all these things. And now he wants us to work. Oh, my goodness. Serve others in the name of Christ. And if you'll remember from previous sermons, I think this is about the third time I preached this, when y'all ought to be getting it about now, is you serve in the name of Christ inside and outside the church. Everybody needs to be connected inside the church. You need to find something to do, whether it's helping in the office or cleaning up the grounds. At my last church, we did not have a grounds crew. We called it Holy Grounds, and the weeds were starting to get pretty high. And so I came up on Sunday and said, all right, next Saturday we're gathering together because that's your weed party. Some of y'all walked in and you walked by those weeds and thought, oh my goodness, I can't believe there's weeds in the church. Somebody should really do something about that. Guess what? If we had 300 people in church, that'd be 300 fewer weeds. That's your weed. Take responsibility. I'll be honest with you. I was amazed at how long it took us to clean up the broken glass on the sign out front. I had several people offer to do it, and because I don't get around that way very often, I didn't realize it wasn't done. If you tell me you're going to do something, I assume you're going to do it. That's what I do. I hope that's what people try to do. And then finally I hear months later, it finally got cleaned up. Guess what? How many of us walked by and said, somebody really ought to do something about that glass. Somebody should really do something about that sign. Somebody should really help clean up. Can I get an amen? We all need to take responsibility. We need to serve inside and outside the church. We aren't called to be the select few to just only worship together and for ourselves, for our sakes and our benefit. We need to get out into our community. Mark 10, 41 through 45 says, when the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And I want to call out to some of you who have served faithfully for over the years, and then somewhere along the way, you thought, I'm done now. Let somebody else do it. You know what? You're hurting yourself, and you're hurting the church. Everybody's got something that they can do. When I was at seminary, I came across a story of an elderly lady. She was up in her 90s. She was blind and not able to drive anymore, which is a good thing. Some of you need to pay attention to that. If you can't see, don't get behind the wheel of the car, okay? I'm just saying. And she worried because she would always drive down to church and she would volunteer anywhere and everywhere that she could. But she wasn't able to get to church anymore. And so she prayed and prayed and prayed to God to say, what can I do? How can I serve now? And the Lord put it on her heart. She called down to the office and got the birthday and anniversary of everybody in the church. She prayed for them on their special day and sent them a card saying, God loves you and so do I. How awesome. Instead of sitting around going, oh, woe is me. I can't drive anymore. I can't go down to the church I love. I can't do anything. She said, Lord, all right, I'm blind, I'm old, what can I do now to serve you? Everybody can be a prayer warrior. Amen? Find a place inside and outside the church to serve. I want to call your attention, hopefully it's on our website, is about, you know, do we have a link for the spiritual gifting? We're still working on it. And we're going to get that done real soon. If you haven't taken a spiritual gift test in a long time, and I do believe that that changes. I do believe that the church is always moving. We're always moving. We're always growing. My gifts have changed over the years. And so I just want to encourage you to take that spiritual gift test and find out where. And we have a program now that will help us track everybody and track their gifts. And you are not signing up for anything, but you will be in a list saying, okay, these are the gifts for these kind of people. And then we'll call and say, hey, is this something you have an opportunity to do? Just pray about that, would you? All right? And so we need to know what our spiritual gifts are so that we can know where we serve. Anybody ever served in the wrong area before? Yeah. It can work for a little while, but after a while, you're not doing yourself or anybody else any good. You need to figure out what your gift is, because when you find your gift, man, you can't wait to do that. And you feel so much, much more blessing from doing that, what you are called to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement. Lord, I just thank you for the boldness to just call out and just say, we have so much more that we can do, and we should celebrate. We should not be an impotent church. Lord, we should be a potent church, because you are omnipotent. You are our God. We can't move in our own power, but Lord, when we pray, when we seek your face, when we spend time with you, when we come before you with shouts of praise and gladness in our hearts, Lord, you fill us with the power of your spirit, and then we can move out in your praising. Somebody's praising right now. So God, we just thank you for that. Lord, I just hand this church over to you. Lord, just pray that you would take control, that by your spirit, you would lead us and guide us, that we'd truly be your people, your church, of which the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen and amen.